25, our Bibles open before us, we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as Christ said, thy word is truth. We pray now, Lord, for help to look at this theme that you've laid upon our heart. We pray indeed to be a challenge to us. We pray, Lord, be for any who's unsaved, that thou will deal with their heart. We pray, Lord, that they know something of the drawing, loving power of God to Christ. We thank you for the wonderful promise that Christ has given to those who come. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Close us, Lord, in with thyself. Cover us in the blood of Christ. Fill us, Lord, with thy Spirit. And glorify thy great name through the preaching of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the great separation. Found there in verse 32, speaking of Christ coming. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I'm sure there's none here tonight would argue with me on this fact, that Jesus Christ is coming again. To this we are left in no doubt. This truth is found in the promises of Christ. In John 14, in verse 6 or 3, the Lord Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That's not my promise. It's a promise of no other preacher. It is a promise of Christ. And he says here, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." What is Christ saying? He's saying, "I will come again." This great theme is found in the prophets. In Zechariah 14 verse 4 it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west." Now, this was an Old Testament prophet. This was years before the Lord Jesus would even come first into this world. And the prophet here, he's telling about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives." And what is the preaching of this prophet? That Jesus Christ is coming again. That was his message. I could take you to numerous passages in the New Testament. Paul many times referred to the coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, for instance, he says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven." Listen, waiting for his Son from heaven. And he's writing here to this church, these believers, and he's saying to them, "Jesus Christ is coming again, and we're waiting." We have to wait patiently. But I can say tonight, we can wait confidently. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Paul spoke about it. We think of Peter. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And Peter too speaks what? About Christ appearing. He had this hope in his heart for the church of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we think of John. John said in numerous cases, but in Revelation 1 verse 7 he says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And he says the same thing. He's coming. Paul is preaching, Christ is coming back. Peter is preaching. Zechariah is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is saying here that he's coming again. You think of James 5 and verse 8. It says, "For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And I want to ask you a question. Have you thought about the coming of Christ today? Can I ask you even, think about the past week, child of God, or even unsaved in this meeting. Have you stopped and thought that Christ is coming back? We do not know when he's coming, because in Matthew 24 and verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." We do not know, and I know you, and you know yourself, that many people have predicted the coming of Christ. And many people have said, "Well, Christ is coming on such and such a day." But they know not. I remember the last time I was in Australia, 1991 to 93. Don't know why you saw it on television over here, but I forget, it might have been in Sydney. There was a man predicted the coming of Christ. And he had it right down to the last day, to the hour, to the minute. It was maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the television cameras all went to see this man, and they interviewed him, and he said, dogmatically, Christ is coming. I forget the date, he said, but he named the day, the time, the hour, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And all week, the cameras were looking at him. And they went on that night, because there was a group of people around this man. And there was a man there with a suitcase. Some people turned up with their suitcases. There were some people actually lost weight, went on a diet, to make sure the Lord could get them up. And they asked this man about the coming of Christ. And he says, well, I tell you the truth. He says, I don't believe this. But I thought I'd better come, just in case he's right. And there they were all gathered, these men. And they were all gathered around them. And the cameras were rolling. And it came, say, 2 o'clock. And there's 10 seconds to go. And they went 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there was a silence. And Jim come. Do you know, dear friends, the ungodly went out onto the streets and got drunk and held a party. And they rejoiced and blasphemed that Jesus didn't come. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is coming again. He says himself in his promise in the prophets and by the saints of God that Christ shall come. Oh dear friends, the day of his coming is near. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And what a day that's going to be when Jesus comes. It's going to be a day of glorification, because we read the dead in Christ will rise. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we with our lives shall remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the earth. So shall we ever be in the Lord. Now here is glorification for the saints of God. Yes, while we've been down in this world, we've been tested in trials, persecuted, hated, and despised. But when Christ comes, we shall rise to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be changed in a moment. What a day that's going to be. For me, and child of God, for you, when Jesus comes. It will be a day of glorification. But it's going to be a day of devastation. There are many references in the Bible to the coming of Christ. Over there in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, it says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now he's speaking about the same day. The Lord Jesus Christ coming back with his mighty angels. But listen, what happens? It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Oh, friends, here's a different day altogether for people who's not right with God. People who's not ready. People who's not saved. The Lord Jesus will come with flaming fire. And those who did not fall before him, and those who did not accept him as their Savior, will be destroyed. And you can read in Revelation 6 about the kings of the earth running and saying, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And so it is the day of glorification, the day of devastation. And if you're not saved, this will happen to you. When Jesus comes, he's coming with flaming fire upon those who obey not the gospel. And if you're not saved tonight, this is you in the meeting. This is those people in the community. Not obeying the call of the gospel of Christ will find themselves lost on that day. But it's going to be a day of separation. Here we're shown clearly in this passage, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all nations will be gathered before him in verse 32. And it says in the verse 32 of Matthew 25, and he shall separate them one from another. The Lord Jesus separates the sheep and the goats. There's a blessed Savior, the King, the Son of God, coming into this world, and he separates them. And his people are the sheep. And dear friends, the unsaved are the goats. People from all nations All kindreds and all tongues are separated by the hand of Christ on this day. You see the separation at the coming of Christ. And I want to say three things about this separation. I want to say that it will be a separation that will be fair. It will be fair. In other words, it will be done right and well. Now, it will be fair because of the Saviour. Because we're noticed here in this passage, it is Christ who separates the people. It is the Lord Jesus who takes this responsibility with this multitude of all nations. And he looks at them, and dear friends, he puts his hand upon them, and he puts the sheep over to one side, and he puts the goats onto the other side. Now, who does this? Who puts the sheep onto the right and the goats onto the left? It is Christ. He himself does this. He does not leave the separating to the prophets. He does not leave the separation of the multitude to stand before him to the ministers of the church. It is not done by the angels, no. You see, it is done by Christ and by Christ alone. He separates this multitude and he has them named here as sheep and goats. Now they tell me, I've never been in Israel, that you had to be really trained to tell the difference between the sheep and the goats in the east. The appearance are the same colour, their appetites are the same, and you had to be really qualified to be able to tell the difference. Dear friends, we could not separate this multitude. We think over Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 and verse 30 about the tares and the wheat. And the man says, Lord, will we go and pull up the tares? And he says, no, let both grow together until the harvest, because less when you're pulling up the tares, you pull up the wheat. In other words, he's saying, you not really know the difference. You can't really tell the difference between the tares and the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest. Why? Because I'll be doing it. The Lord's going to do this, separating himself, friends. They see the Lord Jesus will do it fairly. He knows the sheep. He says in John 10 verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows those goats, using his words here, who are still in darkness. He knows who was in the light. He knows who was saved, who was unsaved. He knows who's converted, who's unconverted. He knows who's pardoned and unpardoned. He knows who believes with all their heart and who are unbelievers. And you can be sure on that day he'll put every man, woman, boy and girl on the right side. None will be able to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you've put me on the wrong side. No goat on the left will say, Lord, you've made a mistake. I really should be over on that side. No, dear friends, it'll be done fairly. The Lord Jesus knows what he's doing. He will work, no doubt, on that day according to the truth. And I want to say tonight, he'll put me in the right group on that day. And I want to say tonight to this congregation, he'll put you in the right group on that day. The Lord will do the separating of this multitude that lie before, who stand before him. There are times we cannot tell who is saved and who is not. And I say that as a preacher of Christ. If I cannot tell. Some people really show great fruits in their life that they belong to Christ, and some show no fruit. And it's hard for us to tell as ministers who was really saved and who was not. We take people's profession, of course, but we cannot tell. But I want to say this. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the difference in the flock. He knows, dear friends, the sheep and the goats. And I'll tell you, on this day, he'll put you in the right group. No doubt about it. There'll be no mistake. And there'll be no mix-up. If I was doing this, or dear friends, if you were doing this separation, we would do it wrong. Now, no, I would have no doubt I would have the wrong person in the wrong group at times. But not the Lord, you see. Dear friends, this separation is fair because of the Saviour. It's also fair because of the standard. You see, the same standard of separating the sheep and the goats is the same. And you can read about that in verse 35. About being hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me and sick and in prison and so on. And what the Lord Jesus said to the sheep, he said the same words to the goats. And the Lord Jesus had the same standard here of separating his people. Now what was the standard? It was acts of mercy towards his people, towards the needy, towards dear friends, his own people. And at first, for as much as he had done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. He's talking here about our relationship to the brethren, to the saved people. And he's saying to the same standard, he's saying to the people, the goats, you didn't do these things. You didn't love the people of God. You never helped the people of God. You never worshipped with the people of God. He said the same words, you see, to the saved. How we react. Now, I want to say this tonight. The Lord Jesus is not speaking salvation by works. I would never preach that. That's Romanism. You're never saved by works at all. But I tell you this. Your works prove why you're saved or not. Your works prove it. In James 2 verse 17, even so faith, if a man hath not works, is dead being alone. He actually said there, do you say you have faith? What did he say? Show me thy works. That's what he said over James said, show me what your works. He didn't say, well, tell me your words. No, he said, show me your works. You see, dear friends, evidence. Lord Jesus showed us if we're kind to God's people, we're really kind to him. And one of the great tests why we're saved or not, as friends, is this. Do you love the people of God? That's the real test, honestly. What company do you like being in? Do you like being in the world's company? Do you like being in the company of the ungodly? Ah, dear friends, it hurts me to sit among you. I have ungodly friends and I'm friendly with them. But then usually watch our language when I'm about and so on. But listen, friends, do you love the brother? Because you love the brother, you're really loving Christ, you see. There's times I hated the Christians. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be among them. But I love them. I love them. I love this people, this congregation, every one of us in this place tonight, and I hardly know you. You see? Because, dear friend, this is Christianity in action. You see, it is works, not words, the Lord is looking for. It is not perfection, it is practice. That's the same standard the Lord Jesus used. And the standard, dear friends, was acts of mercy. And the standard was Christ. Living towards Christ. Because when you do these works, friends, you're only doing it to people. You're doing it unto Christ. I preach, why? Unto you, of course, but I preach for Christ. I witness for Christ. My life is Christ. Everything we do, to do unto the Lord. Helping one another, I do it unto the Lord. I'm really doing it unto Christ. And the standard was Christ. And before the sheep and the goats, there was one. And who was the one, dear friends, before the sheep and the goats? It was Christ. That's the same standard. It was Christ that brought, dear friends, this great division. As I said, it is not perfection, but practice. And that's the same standard. It was the same for them, same for us. How did we relate to one another? How do we relate to Christ? And Matthew Henry said, the good works of the saints, when they are produced in the great day, shall all be remembered. And not the least, and not the one of the least overlooked. No, not a cup of water. Do you think of this? If you're brought up to court, what's against you? Evidence. He walks in evidence. And that's the same with a Christian. That's the same with this multitude. It is evidence. You heard the saying, I'm sure, one time, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be? If you were arrested, if there's a law put out in Tasmania that we're going to arrest all Christians, we're going to put them in prison, well, would there be enough evidence to convict you? But you're a child of God. It's the same standard. It's going to be fair, you see. Because of a standard. And also, can I say this? It's fair because of the setting. Because it says in verse 31, where is this going to take place? Well, the throne of glory.
And all nations shall be gathered before the throne of glory. And Psalm 47 verse 8 talks about the throne of holiness. My friends, here is this multitude standing before Christ, the throne of glory and the throne of holiness. Well, surely the separation is going to take place before such a throne. It will be fair. Before the throne of glory, before the throne of holiness. In verse 31, the setting also talks about holy angels. He's coming with his holy angels. They're all looking on. They are all witnesses what has taken place. Oh, dear friends, what I'm saying is this. You'll be judged fair on that day. It will be a fair trial. Christ will be fair with me. He'll be fair with you. He'll be fair with everybody in Tasmania. He'll be fair with everybody, dear friends, in the world on this day. You see, the separation will be fair. Because of the Savior, because of the standard, because of the setting, it can be no other way. Sheep on the right, goats on the left, you on the right, you on the left. Fair. And friends, he'll put his hand out and he'll say to you, if you're not saved, goats on the left. It will be fair separation. It will be a separation that will be fearful, can I say, because of division. Notice the words in verse 32, and he shall separate them one from another. Friends, one from another brings division. I want to say to you, husband will be taken from the wife. And the wife, she'll be taken from her husband. And daughter will be taken from the mother. And son will be taken from the father. And brothers will be divided. And sisters will be divided. And close relationships on this day will be torn asunder. And dear friends, that is fearful. You can find Christ speaking in verse chapter 24, verse 40. About two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Right in the field, there's a separation. Two men work together, maybe love one another, worked hard for years together. There they are in the field, separated. He tells us there are also two at the mill, the workplace. Maybe worked for years at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. In Luke, it says in Luke 17, verse 34, and that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Did you see the separation? Out in the field, separation. Out in the workplace, separation. Ah, friends, we go right into the home. Two in a bed. Separated. And I want to say to you, friends, this separation is fearful because it brings a division. And I can say to any tonight who's on, see it. One day, you'll be taken away from your partner. One day, you'll be taken away from your Christian family, whatever your case may be. Mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter. Separated when Jesus Christ comes. Imagine. Some family's members will be placed with the sheep. Some family members will be placed with the goats. Oh, friends, what a division. Families will be divided on that day. And if you're not saved, if Jesus came now, you're among the goats. Separated. Terrible thing, friends. This separation also is fearful because it brings distress. Because verse 30 can be even put in. It's all dealing with the second coming of Christ. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, I want to say to you, there's nothing as painful as separating. You think Apostle Paul leaving Ephesus. In Ephesus in Acts 20 verse 37. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. Paul was taking his leave of, and the people held him and the people wept. Why? Because there's something sad about separations. That is terrible. I remember the first time the Lord called me to go to leave Northern Ireland to preach, and I had to come to Australia. Boys, I never suffered the likes of it. It has never got any easier. But I remember the first time when I had to say farewell to my mother and to my wife's mother and father, to my brothers, to my sisters, to my families, and there was grown men weeping. and I know something of the pain of separation of serving Christ, and you know something about it too. You've probably watched family members leave home and go away, and you've had to go yourself. It brings pain. There's something painful about goodbyes. But dear friends, Lord speaks about weeping. Death will bring it also, because in Luke 8 verse 52 talks about Jairus' daughter and all the people, and they all wept and bewailed her. And I have no doubt, when the Lord places the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side, there's going to be great sadness in the hearts of the unsaved. How distressing this will be, oh dear friend, if you're not saved, to look over and see your mother who prayed for you, or your father who witnessed to you, or to see your partner that you shared many, many precious moments with, all on the right side, and you on the left. And you on the left hand side, friends. Oh, we see it's Spurgeon said, oh, the wailing of the children, and the wailing of the woman, and the wailing of the husbands, and the wailing of the fathers when their children are saved, and their parents are saved, or their husbands and wives are saved, and they themselves are cast out forever. Oh, dear friends, for the goats, what a sad day it's going to be when Jesus comes to separate us. Can I say this? It's also fearful because that brings damnation. In verse 41, it says there, depart ye cursed from me into everlasting fire. Let me say this. Hell is a real place. People mock hell, laugh at hell, but listen, it's a real place according to the teachings of Christ. And he says here to the goats, on this day of separation, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, you see. Look at their condemnation. Depart from me. It used to be, come to me. It used to be, trust me. It used to be, friends, believe on me. But now it has changed. Now Christ looks at this people and he says, depart from me, you see. It brings condemnation. Look at their company. Prepared for the devil and his angels. And you can read about that company in Revelation 21 verse 8, talks about the lake of fire and brimstone, people cast into it. Revelation 20 verse 10 talks about the devil being cast in there as well. You see, all who will follow the devil will perish with the devil. As Matthew Henry said, it's a terrible to lie in a house taunted with devils. What will it be then to be companions with them forever? But friends, this is solemn. What a difference it is for people of God. In verse 34, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And God's people are brought into the kingdom. And there's joy and there's happiness. But oh, it is not so with the goats. They're told to Christ to depart from Christ, and are cast down into hell, you see. Oh friend, is it not fearful? Is this not a fearful day when Jesus comes? It is fearful. Not only because of damnation, because of their defense. The goat said, when saw we, in verse 44, we hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or so. When did we ever see this? They're trying in a sense to say, well, when did this happen? You see, it said that those words in humiliation. The goats are trying to say this in their own defense. Well, friends, they haven't got a word of defense when Jesus comes. What a fearful separation is before any tonight who's not saved. You'll be separated from your family. You'll weep and you'll wail, friends, and not die. Oh, I know people laugh today at Christians. They laugh at the preaching of Christ. They laugh at the gospel. Oh, friends, all laughing will be put to the side and not die. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine the Lord saying to you on the left, oh, he says, Lord, I went to Tasmania Free Presbyterian Church. I heard the gospel. I sang the hymns. I had a Bible. Ah, friends, not saved. They're on the left hand side. Could you imagine standing with that multitude? Could you imagine the Lord said to you, depart from me? Could you imagine being cast into this fire that Christ says is real? Oh, friends, it's fearful. A day of separation. And it says here in verse 32 of our text, and he, Christ, shall separate them the one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He's going to do this. And I'm warning you that Christ is going to do this. He's going to do this in this congregation. He's going to do it with the community. He's going to do this for the people of Australia, you see. What a fearful separation is before you if you're not saved. Can I say this is a separation that is final? This is the last separation, friends, in the world. Because of the period, because in verse chapter 24, verse 3, it says there, tell us what shall these, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Not the end of the world. This will happen in the end of the world, you see. There's no more time after this. The end has come. No more opportunities to hear the gospel. No more opportunities to repent. No more opportunities is given to these people who are classed by Christ as the goats to trust Christ. Oh, friends, it's the final separation. It's the end of the world. Oh, friends, do you ever think about the coming of Christ? Do you ever think that the world is going to end someday? Because it is. And this is going to happen. And this is going to happen to you and to me on this day. On the right or on the left. Saved or unsaved. In the light or in darkness. Following Christ or following sin. Oh, dear friends, the final separation. This is the last one. Because of the period, because of the place, because it talks there about everlasting fire. That's a terrible thing. It is our last move. I have moved about a bit in my life serving Christ. But you see, on this day, that's my last move. I've been moving to the kingdom. That's it. All my running about will be done. All my traveling will be done. Come ye blessed, he'll say, of my Father, and heard the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'll enter into his rest. That's my last moving. But it's also the goat's last separation. Into the fire. Into everlasting fire. I was over in Australia there last week, and there's a couple of roads, and part of the road right up was burnt, and I said, boy, this is terrible. 2 years ago there was a fire, maybe you heard about it, in near Port Lincoln, and they told me that it was 60 mile square roughly was burnt. The fire travelled at 80 kilometres an hour and just swept right through the whole country, that part. But the fire's out. The grass is starting to change again, or the trees and so on. But friends, this is everlasting. This fire will never go out. Never go out for eternity. Ever and forever and forever, you see. Everlasting fire. And the saved will go to everlasting life in verse 46. It's also found because of the pronouncement. Because he said in verse 41, depart from me. And that's fearful words. How solemn we have here the Lord Jesus Christ saying here to the goats, depart from me. As I have said earlier in the sermon, it is no more come to me, but to depart from me. That's the last words the unsaved will hear Christ say. Depart from me, you cursed. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's the last separation. That's the last things. No more separate, no more chance to hear the gospel, no more opportunities to come to Christ. That's the last separation. Because of the punishment in verse 46, he speaks about everlasting punishment and forever and to life eternal. Luke 16 talks about the great gulf. And all what I'm saying here to you, friends, how dreadful is the day of separation for the unsaved. How dreadful. To be lost, to be separated from God's people forever, from family members who are saved forever, and to lose your soul forever, and to be taken and cast into everlasting fire. Listen, forever. See, it's Spurgeon actually spoke in this passage. And here's what he said. Beloved, these are such weighty things that while I dwell upon them, I feel far more inclined to sit down and weep than to stand up and speak to you. And I thought that was a mighty statement. Because when that great preacher came to this passage, he said he just felt like sitting down and crying. Just like sitting down and weeping over the thought of the separation. The thought of those he had preached to for years. The thought of those that he knew and no doubt loved who were unsaved. Been separated and cast into everlasting fire. That he'd rather sit down and weep. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, that's the final separation. I don't know when it's going to come. Oh, you say, no, it's a long way away yet, is it? Is it? Remember the verse in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Do you know when Jesus is coming? I don't. We don't know, friends. Coming like a thief in the night. And he says, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. They think of the words, in such an hour that you think not. You don't think the Lord will come tonight. You don't think the Lord's going to come this year, do you? You don't think the Lord's going to come in the next 10 years or so? Listen, friends, in such an hour as you think not, the separation is coming. What side will you be on? What side will you be on that day? Along with the sheep or the goats? I tell you tonight, what side are you on tonight? Are you along with the sheep or the goats? That's because, friends, whatever side you're on tonight is for the side you'll be on there. That's as simple, isn't it? And we can know we're saved. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life, even to them that believe in his name. Are you trusting Christ completely for salvation? Have you turned from your sin? Can you say, yes, I'm standing on the blood, that Christ has cleansed me, he is my Savior? Then, friends, you're along with the goats. Or sorry, along with the sheep. But if you're not, you're along with the goats. You need a turn. You need to come to Christ if you're not saved. All be ready for this day. This fateful day that will come upon the world, friends. Come and be saved. His grace is free. And he will give you everlasting life. And one day he'll take you home to heaven. Where are you tonight? Are you on the left or the right of Christ? Are you a sheep or a goat? I know tonight I'm a sheep. Because of the grace of God. And because I'm trusting Christ. Oh, be saved if you're not saved. Don't lose your soul, my dear friend. When there's a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus. And come and trust him even tonight. If God has spoken to your heart, if you'd like to speak to me about them, I'd love to speak with you. It's time to seek the Lord, the Bible says. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. And it's time to come to Christ. May you do so tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.